Well, when we started planning for this Christmas Eve service, there's one word that stood out for me more than any other that I knew that I wanted to convey. And if you have your bulletins, take a look at the front. What does it say? Christmas hope. And it was the word hope that just kept ringing around for the last month and a half. This fall, I had the privilege of serving as the keynote speaker at a leadership retreat for the Schoharie County Senior Council. Their theme of my message was never too old to dream. They just bought a building and they were starting to dream about what they could do in our community. And in the course of my remarks, one of the things I said is something I've done on several occasions. As I said, human beings can live weeks without food, days without water, minutes without air, but only seconds without hope. Seconds without hope. And over this last year, that's been put to the test to see if it's true. And what we've discovered it is. With the outbreak of COVID and all of the associated protocols established, the physical distancing, the social isolation, the lockdowns, the anxiety, the fear, the confusion, the anger, the despair, it is showing up now in the stats that we have a pandemic on our hand that's not related to COVID directly, but it's the indirect results. I did some quick study online, and they said here that since the coronavirus has arrived, depression and anxiety in America have become rampant. Federal surveys show that 40% of Americans are now grappling with at least one mental health or drug-related problem. 40%. The young adults have been hit harder than any other age group. 75% of young adults are struggling. Early data now shows that the rates of fatal overdoses in 2020 have risen in more than 40 states. In some areas, there's a 1,000% increase. Cities have reported substantial increases in 911 calls and emergency department visits related to drug use. I know the dispatcher, one of the dispatchers here in Schoharie County, and he said they're getting so many calls. What's happening is that as this COVID continues, the threats of more lockdowns, and we don't quite see an end, although some are thinking maybe the vaccine will turn the tide and do the trick. We don't know. And so as this has gone on, and we're staying isolated from each other, I know when I go into substitute teach, watching the kids look like little Borgs hooked up to the computers, that's a nod to you, Bruce, just saying there. But they're not talking. I'm used to going in and subbing and having to quiet them down. Now I want to check to see if they still have a pulse because they're just staring at screens. They're not communicating. They're not talking. And that isolation is having a negative effect on a lot of people. And so I thought that given that, it would be good, since this is going out across the airwaves to who knows where and as well as for you here, I would bring you a message tonight of hope. And I want to draw our message from an unusual place, from the book of Lamentations, an Old Testament book written by the prophet Jeremiah. So if you want to turn to that, Jeremiah, or Lamentations chapter 3, Jeremiah pours out his heart to God. And as I'm turning, I'm just going to give you, I guess, here's some more. Letty Merced and her family, Diaz's, they say Merry Christmas, all many blessings as a church family. Dale Binkley, greetings to you all. May you all have a blessed Christmas. Carla Decker, Merry Christmas from the Deckers. Merry Christmas, watching right now. That's my son, Ben. He's here. Yep, we have hope, that's for sure. Sid noted here, she goes, I'm having a lot more people coming in for depression and counseling. That's why we need some hope tonight. We need a message of hope. And as I said, it's an unusual place because listen to how this text starts. I want to pick up beginning at verse 17, chapter 3. I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say my splendor is gone and all that I had hoped from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. What a message of hope. What words of encouragement to the congregation tonight. Jeremiah didn't have to deal with COVID. But Jeremiah had to deal with a crushing blow after crushing blow. Jeremiah prophesied near the end of the southern kingdom. He had to preach to people that didn't want to hear him. He had hopes that there would be a revival or an awakening under King Josiah, but it was short-lived and it was surface only. And so he had to go through king after king after king, evil kings that defied the Lord and practiced all kinds of wickedness. And with all of his heart, he preached, and there was no awakening. With all the way he preached, there was no revival. He was thrown into prison. He was thrown into a cistern. He was mocked and made fun of. And then he had to witness the atrocities as the siege of Jerusalem took place at the hands of the Babylonians. He had to watch the city fall and the king be put to death. He had to watch the temple, the most beautiful temple that had been built by King Solomon, be completely destroyed. He had to watch his people go into exile and know that it was God's judgment on a rebellious people. They lost their land, they lost their temple, they lost their king, they lost everything. And Jeremiah is overwhelmed. He looks back over his career, he looks back over the events that had taken place, and he started to slip into despair because he was beginning to wonder if even God himself was no longer listening. You can read it sometime when you have a chance, the opening part of chapter 3. He said, God, you deceived me. God, you've basically let me down. God, you've done this to me. Where are you, God? And there are people that are wondering today, God, where are you? I was on a phone call with my superintendent a week and a half ago, and he reported to us of more pastors and pastors' wives that are dying of COVID. I know I've lost in my own family a cousin. We see folks suffering. We see a country that seems to be torn apart. We've had riots. We've had vandalism and looting. We've had threats and hate and anger. We had a tumultuous election cycle that still is being litigated in court. We've had businesses that have been around for over a century going belly up because of the closures and not able to sustain the business. We have passage of bills that give money to organizations that frankly may not need it, but the little guys seem to be suffering. We begin to wonder, God, where are you? Where is this awakening that you promised? Where is the hope, God? Jeremiah wanted to know where was the hope because he was feeling pretty hopeless. But then, the text doesn't stop with, my soul is downcast within me. The text doesn't stop in hopelessness. The text doesn't stop with Jeremiah throwing in the towel and giving up and walking away from God saying, it's ridiculous, it's not worth it, I quit, I give up. No, it goes into the next verse and the word is yet. I love the fact that Jeremiah has a yet in his life. And the yet is this, yet this I call to mind and therefore I have hope. See, when Jeremiah looked around at everything he could see with his natural eyes, there was no reason for hope. The loss of everything that he held dear to, the loss of everything he counted on, gone. But what wasn't gone was God. And he said, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Jeremiah could look back on the history of his people and see again and again evidence of God stepping in, being the hero, showing mercy, bringing hope. Whether it was bringing a baby to an old couple like Abraham and Sarah that shouldn't have been able to have a baby, whether it be a little shepherd boy taking on a big giant and taking him out, whether it be Jehoshaphat and his armies facing far superior armies and watching God bring victory, Jeremiah knew, and he had to remind himself, "This I call to mind." It's easy for us to be persuaded by what's going on around us to be hopeless. We have to call to mind some things if we're going to be hopeful. "This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed. His compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Jeremiah had just witnessed the judgment of God that was going to fall upon the people. But Jeremiah had been given a promise that restoration would come. It would be down the road, but restoration would come. You see, that's the thing about God. Whenever God has to bring discipline and judgment, whenever God has to step in with his righteous judgment, he always offers an opportunity for hope and redemption for those who will look to him in faith. I think back to, all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Here you have Adam and Eve created in God's likeness, enjoying the beauty of this garden. Everything is incredible, and yet they chose to rebel against God. And the moment they bit into that fruit, the judgment God prophesied came, and they spiritually died. And they started to feel things they had never felt before, like fear, shame, guilt, alienation. The relationship with God was severed. Their relationship with each other, twisted. Their relationship with themselves, messed up. But even in the midst of that, there was a message of hope. For God gave a word, the first prophecy in the Bible, of a promise. In Genesis 3:15, God speaking in judgment to the snake says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Imagine what Adam and Eve must have felt. To have never experienced fear and shame and guilt and alienation, and now not only to experience it, to live in it. To know that they have just been kicked out of home. Just like Jeremiah, they lost their land. They lost the garden. And what was this beautiful place that brought forth abundance now is thistles. Now it's hard work. They've lost everything. Was there ever going to be a possibility of coming back? And God says, hope is coming. Hope is coming. I promise it. In the midst of judgment, I offer hope. In the midst of judgment, I offer a way out, mercy. He will crush your head. And throughout the course of the Old Testament, and we won't take the time to do it, we looked at a few of the passages tonight, the promise of hope gets repeated again and again. The promise of hope gets confirmed. The promise of hope gets enlarged. Hope is coming. But the Old Testament finishes without that hope materializing. Hope needed another testament. Hope needed a brand new covenant, a brand new agreement. And so the people of Israel were forced to wait, not just for a day or a week or a month, a year or a decade or even a century, but over four centuries they had to wait as the silence of heaven seemed to just overwhelm them. Until one night. One night when hope was born. Hope was wrapped in swaddling cloths, and hope was placed in a manger. Christmas changed everything, because you wouldn't have the cross if you didn't have the creche. You wouldn't have his dying if he hadn't been born. So what about us tonight? What about you watching? Where are you on a hope meter? Some of you have been battling a long time. Some of you may be just like Jeremiah, wondering, God, where are you? I prayed and prayed and prayed. I've cried out to you. Your hope meter might be a little low. You're wondering, God, when? When will you step in? Some of you have been bound with addiction for a long time. And you've strived, you've tried and tried, and you wonder, God, is hope coming? Some of you watching have prayed for prodigal sons and daughters. You have cried out to God, sometimes for weeks, months, and years. And you wonder, where, God? Where is it? Lord, I remember my suffering. I remember my affliction. I remember, and my soul is downcast within me. God, where are you? Yet, hope was born in Bethlehem. And what that means is that God stepped into our time and space. The eternal God was made flesh and dwelt among us. The eternal God, through his Son, in whom dwells all the fullness of the body of the Godhead in bodily form, has stepped into our messy world. Has stepped into our world of hopelessness, has stepped into our world of despair. He has stepped into our world of sin. He has stepped into our world of addiction. He has stepped into our world of brokenness. He has stepped into our world of disease. He has spoken and stepped into our world of despair. He has stepped in with a word of hope that death doesn't get the last word. Life does. That despair doesn't get the last word. Hope does. That darkness doesn't get the last word. Light does. Hope was born at Christmas. And so we may not understand the seasons and the times. We may not understand from this point of view why, but God does know, because he's walked among us. And the last chapter of your life has not yet been written. So if you're like Jeremiah, if you're wondering, God, where are you? Call this to mind, and therefore have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Although we may have questions, Bethlehem and Calvary prove to us Emmanuel, God with us. So if you're at a point where you're wondering, is it ever going to end? Is the pain ever going to stop? Is the suffering never going to give up? Am I always going to be struggling? I have good news for you. The hope of Christmas has been born. The hope of Christmas is with you. And there's a blessed hope in that not only did Jesus come the first time, he's coming again. And that's why Paul calls it a blessed hope. So if I can give you anything else tonight, can I give you the hope of Christmas?
Take me back to 8 years old, the little church on a dead-end road, with a candle flicker in one hand and Dad's hand in the other. Take me back to silent night, my heart was full and the world was right, 'cause right now the world looks nothing like those innocent Decembers. These days peace on earth is hard to find, and I need you to remind me one more time. You're still the hope of Christmas. You're still the light when the world looks dark. You're still the hope of Christmas. And you're still the hope of my heart. The snowflakes falling down like a blanket on this town. For a moment we can hardly see the pain this year has brought us. May the sick find healing's touch. May hatred's fight be won with love. And may every heart make room for you, the one who came to save us. 'Cause you're still the hope of Christmas. You're still the light when the world looks dark. You're still the hope of Christmas. And you're still the hope of my heart. My head to pray tonight, felt my little girl by my side. She slipped her tiny hand in mine, and we both talked to you. And it took me back to 8 years old, my daddy's hand and a story told about heaven's love in a manger low, and a promise that's still true. You're still the hope of Christmas. You're still the light when the world looks dark. You're still the hope of Christmas. And you're still the hope of my heart. You're still the hope of my heart.
He knows. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities because hope was born in Bethlehem. He knows, and he cares. Can't snap a finger. There's no magic cure or wand that we're just called to wait. We're called to wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It's good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And so we trust and we wait for the hope of Christmas to be our hope. Let us pray. Lord, I know that this year has been unlike any other we've experienced. And sometimes we begin to wonder, God, where are you? Our theology says one thing, but our experience says another. We hear about hope, and yet we experience suffering and despair. Like Jeremiah of old, we wonder. And yet, God, Christmas, it reminds us that you do care. That you cared so much that you sent your one and only Son to be born not in a palace, but to be placed in a manger. Not among the powerful and the pushy, but the powerless, the poor. You took in our life. You walked the dusty roads. You ate our food. You grew weary. And you showed us. You showed us the Father. God with us. And Lord, I pray for those who are here. I lift up the prayer requests that have come through for the family that owned the Worcester Inn and the loss here at Christmas. A bittersweet loss. No more suffering, and yet still at this time of year, the pain. Lord, we call out upon you. For this other one with Chris that came in for a need for a touch of God on his back. For those that have experienced and are suffering with COVID. For a nation that is not e pluribus unum, but divided. Lord, there's so much going on in our world, like Jeremiah, can be overwhelming. Bring us back. Let us call to mind the hope of Christmas. And that baby didn't stay a baby. He grew, and he brought a message of hope, and a message of healing, and a message of wholeness. He brought a message, a proclamation of the gospel of salvation. He brought restoration to broken bodies and lives. And he brought this liberation for those who are in bondage. And God, you still do those things. And so we believe and trust. In spite of what our eyes might tell us here, just like Jeremiah, we call to mind your love and your mercies and your faithfulness. And we wait on you for the hope of Christmas to step into our world today and bring your life, your salvation. And I pray, Lord, for anyone in this sanctuary or anyone watching this online, that tonight your Holy Spirit would open their hearts to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that their need will bring them to their knees in humility before the babe who became the Savior of the world, that they would hear the good news of the kingdom and open their heart and turn from their ways and put their trust and faith in you, that they would receive the greatest Christmas gift ever. And I ask this in the name of Jesus, your Son, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Amen. They were supposed to tell people. So are we. Let's stand and sing together. Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let us
hope is born this night as the candles are being lit. As you're going to leave here in just a few moments, you're going to go home, and then tomorrow celebrate Christmas, and then the 26th will come. Just remember, no matter what you face, hope was born. Hope was born that night. As I said before, wrapped in swaddling cloths, placed in a manger. No matter what you go through, he knows, he understands, And he has the ability and power, grace and strength to carry you through. You can live in the first part of that section, or you can live after the yet. And to me, as children of the living God who know what God did, they had to believe by faith. We trust by faith, but we get to go look back at something historical. All those prophecies were fulfilled. Jesus was born, he lived, he died, he rose again. He was faithful to those promises. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. He did exactly what he said he would do. And you can count on it in your life that if he has promised you victory, then you stand on that promise. If he has promised you healing, you stand on that healing. If he's promised you deliverance, then you stand on that deliverance. If he's promised you restoration and reconciliation, then you stand on that. You believe in the God of hope. So if we can have the lights completely dimmed in the sanctuary part here, the overhead, and let's sing together, Silent Night.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child.
Think of no better benediction than that of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Merry Christmas. Go in the grace of our God. Amen.